Dear brothers and sisters, good morning. Today is the feast of St. Matthew, the Apostle and Evangelist, one of the 12, and also the author of the Gospel of Matthew. Today is also my name day, the day of my baptismal patron, because I'm Clinton Matthew Sinsat, and a very important day today. I celebrate it more than my birthday. We don't celebrate his feast today because it's Sunday, and like most saints, he gets trumped by the Sunday. But I did want to share something with you about him that I find very moving. I find lots of things about him very moving, but I found this very moving because it's connected to what I wanted to talk about today. So you may recall in the Gospels that Matthew was a tax collector, which meant not that he went around with the IRS, but that he actually collected tolls at the beginning of the Roman highway. So he sat in a toll booth and collected tolls. And that's where Jesus met him, right at the beginning of the journey, really, literally. And he called him. And the way we translate this in English, perfectly fine translation, is, and he got up and followed him. It's perfectly fine. However, what you might miss is that in the Greek, it's the same verb for when Jesus rose from the dead. It says Matthew rose and followed him. And I think that that's deliberate. That this conversion of Matthew from a life of sin, from a life of dissipation, from a life where he was able to gather together tax collectors and prostitutes at the drop of a hat that night, apparently, right, to follow Christ, was a kind of resurrection in him. And certainly we talk about how on the last day we will all rise from the dead, but the resurrection of Jesus Christ is already at work in our souls, as the saints tell us. Where now we rise. We rise from the life of sin. We rise from the world. And we follow him. We can do that now. So I use this as an example and an image because we've been talking about prayer for months now, and I realized that I had never actually given you the definition of prayer. Not that I think you don't know what prayer is, because I'm pretty sure you know what prayer is. But the Catechism quotes St. John Damascene, and a lot of people throughout history have quoted St. John Damascene on this wonderful definition of prayer, and I think it's helpful to hear it, which is, prayer is nothing other than lifting our mind to God. We rise. We rise. Because we hear today, high above all nations is the Lord, above the heavens is his glory, who is like the Lord our God, who is enthroned on high. And then he lifts the lowly from the dust. That God gives us a share in the resurrection, St. Paul tells us in Colossians. He gives us a share in the resurrection in that even now, our minds can rise to him. Our minds can rise above the enthrallment of the world, above the captivity of the senses, above the domination of all the concerns and anxieties that surround us. Our minds can rise to him. And that's a saving act. It's an act of being saved, because it's a share in the resurrection, just as Matthew rose. Just as Matthew rose. We can pray for the conversion of all the IRS so we don't have to pay taxes. But just as Matthew rose, right, and followed him. And so with that idea of prayer, I want to look at the second reading today. It's a very important second reading in the history of the saints and the church's teaching on prayer. Because at the beginning, St. Paul says, first of all, I ask that, and then he gives four words, and these are various translated in different ways, but today we hear supplications, prayers, petitions, and thanksgivings be offered. What's going on here? It seems that however you take it and however you translate it, St. Paul is giving us four distinct acts of prayer that are different from one another. Supplications, prayers, petitions, thanksgiving. And that's the way that the saints have taken it, where they say, like, look, these are the four different things. I mean, the catechism goes to five, and we'll talk about that in a second. But I want to really say this, because it's very important, that the list that St. Paul gives and the way that the saints have taken it, the way the church has taken it, is a wonderful, helpful guide for us to make sure that we're praying well, to make sure that we're praying right. All right. Let's pretend that I know something about fitness. Because we're going to talk about different spiritualities later on, and those different spiritualities would be like different fitness programs, right? Like CrossFit or whatever else. I don't even know the names of the rest of them right now, but you know what I'm talking about, right? And Shake Weight, whatever. So, if you had a fitness program that only worked out your triceps, whatever you called that program, would it be a good fitness program? No. And if you had a fitness program that only worked out your calves, whatever you called that, would it be a good fitness program? If you knew the answer to the first one was no, you should also know the answer to the second one was no. No. Because to be a good fitness program, it has to work out all your muscle groups. So in the same way, if you're going to have a good spirituality, it can't just be focused on one type of prayer. It has to cover all of them. And so let's look at it today to say, what are the different kinds of prayer to make sure that we're engaging in all of them, to make sure that our prayer life is robust. So the first one we hear translated today is supplications. The Greek word means like pleading, right? Begging. And this is the first act of prayer that many of us do. We turn to God, who is above all, who is all-powerful, who is all-good, and we ask for stuff. Lord, I need help to get through this day. Lord, I didn't have coffee. I need help to focus. Lord, I need help to forgive so-and-so who hurt me. Lord, I need help for whatever. And this is a beautiful and a good act of prayer. And we need to make sure that we do it throughout our entire lives. Sometimes people think that the more advanced you get in prayer, the less you ask God for stuff, and that's insane. Even Jesus, the night before he died, Lord, if it is possible, let this chalice pass away from me. Right? So you have to ask for stuff. And so that's the first kind. The second, which we translate as prayer today, proskune, has a variety of different meanings, but let's today take it in the way the catechism does, as adoration. Right? So I ask God for things because God is good, but then I start to think about God's goodness just in itself. I'm blown away, I'm amazed by God's goodness, by His truth, by His beauty, and I just gaze on Him and wonder. Like when I look at the mountains, all those mountains that we have around Iraq, you know? When I look at the mountains, am I asking for anything from the mountains? Do I look at the mountains and say, this is what the mountains can do for me? No, especially because I'm scared of heights. I don't think the mountains can do anything for me. And yet when I see the mountains, they're beautiful, they're majestic, they move me. They awaken something deep inside. And that's the kind of worship that we should offer the Lord too. To not just ask for things, but to just gaze at His wondrous beauty. And the third one, which we translate today petitions, but everywhere else is translated intercessions, is I ask God for things because He's good, then I'm amazed at God's goodness, then I realize that His goodness can be applied to others. So we don't just ask for stuff for ourselves, we ask for things for other people, right? We have to intercede for other people. Now, let me just say this in passing because a lot of people get really concerned about this. Y'all, you can just do it in general, okay? There are a lot of people I've worked with who thought that they had to pray and remember every single person's name for every single intention and do it like 30 seconds for each one. You don't need to remember everybody's name. You need to remember mine. Because you don't know him. You don't need to remember everybody's name. He remembers. And it's enough in general to just say, Lord, everybody I promised to pray for. Lord, everyone I've committed to pray for. Now, certain people you pray for by name, if God moves you to pray for them in a more particular way. But to just pray for others, it's so important to pray for others. And then of the four, the last one, of course, is to give thanks. To give thanks. And we can't ever forget that last part. There are lots of times where God answers our prayers and we just take what He gives us and runs with it like we're spoiled. Right? We have to give thanks to Him. For all the things He's done for us. And that action of gratitude is important. And guys, we see these movements in Mass, actually, right? So at the opening prayer, we ask God for things for ourselves. During the readings, we're blown away by God's majesty and what God has done. We're about to do the general intercessions where we pray for others. And then, of course, the Eucharist is where we give thanks. So we have this rhythm baked into Mass. But it also needs to be something that's alive in our heart. Now, there's a fifth kind of prayer. It's not listed by St. Paul here today. But luckily for us, is right there in the responsorial psalm. And that is praise. Praise the Lord who lifts up the poor. So what is praise? Praise is a little bit different from adoration. You're not just blown away by God's majesty. You distinctly congratulate Him or acknowledge Him for His glory. So praise in human terms is like when you give somebody an award or you give somebody a compliment. Right? And we need to not just gaze at God's loveliness, but make it concrete, make it explicit. You know, like focus on His cross, focus on what He's done, focus on the good that He's done in the world and praise Him for that. So these are the five different acts of prayer, right? To ask for things for ourselves, to adore Him in Himself, to pray for others, to thank Him, and to praise Him. And our spiritual life should have all five. Now, let's do this last point. How many of you, and I assume the answer is everyone except children, how many of you have seen relationship advice on the internet? Raise your hand. Some of you just being lazy. You know you've seen relationship advice on the internet. Now, let's say that you saw five things to do to improve your marriage. Does that mean that you're going to take those five things and use them as a checklist every day and like artificially go through them? Say good morning to my spouse. Good morning, spouse. Congratulate them on what they did at work. Did you have a good day at work today? Congratulations, right? That would be ridiculous. And while these five things are important to nurture your relationship, you know instinctively that you shouldn't treat them artificially as a bunch of hoops to jump through or as a checklist to get through. You know that they're just things to keep in mind as you develop a real relationship. And dear brothers and sisters, the last point that I want to make today about prayer as we lift our mind and heart to God, as we make sure that we're covering all the bases, is that it is so very important, so crucially important, that our prayer life not be artificial, that it not be fake, that it not be mechanical. Like, look, when you're starting to really pray, I get it, because we're always awkward when we're developing a new relationship, and it's more awkward when we can't see the person we're talking to. Fine. But there needs to come a time at which prayer becomes natural. Natural, sincere, authentic. And man, I've just seen so many people, and I did this when I was 18, so I know, and I was very blessed to have monks who corrected it out of me very quickly. So many people who feel like prayer needs to in some way be artificial for it to count. What do I mean by that? I'm not trying to make fun of anybody here, but like, if you feel like you need to pray in a different voice, you know, we used to tease priests who had liturgical voices. I mean, look, there are certain things where you just say things in a rhythm, your voice sounds a little different, but there were priests who changed everything about the way their voice sounded when they said Mass. If you feel like you have to pray slower somehow because the words are holier than the way that you normally talk, God can hear pretty quickly, y'all. It doesn't have to be like, like, nah. Like the angels in heaven are going, cringe. Okay, so, you don't have to slow down to pray. You also don't need to speed up to pray. I don't know that word, never know that word, never know that word. You don't need to pray the rosary like you're an auctioneer, okay? Pray naturally. natural. Now, sometimes if you're being natural, that means that your voice will change. Your voice will be the same way when I talk to people. Sometimes I'm a little bit more excited. Sometimes I'm a little bit more down in the dumps. It doesn't mean that you pray flat either. Just be sincere, man. Be sincere, be natural, be authentic in your prayer. And don't think that God wants us to somehow fake it. There's this weird thing that I've encountered in Catholics where they think that the more socially awkward and strange somebody is, the holier they are. And that's not what we see in the scriptures at all. In fact, we have to be authentic, and that's what we hear today in the first reading. God is fussing through Amos. He's fussing with people who are like, yeah, let's go to pray so that when we're done, we can go, you know, tax the poor into oblivion. Yay. And God's like, then your prayer doesn't count because it's fake. It's not authentic. And again and again and again, the message that Jesus gives us about prayer is that it needs to be sincere. That sincerity counts so much more than doing the right program or doing the right words or jumping through the right hoops. It needs to be sincere. And so today, dear brothers and sisters, we ask for St. Matthew's intercession. That we would learn to share in the resurrection by lifting our minds and hearts to God. That we would learn to make sure that we're praying in all the right ways, that we're not handicapping our relationship with Him because we're only focused on one. And that we would learn how to pray in a way that is neither artificial nor awkward, but natural and sincere. To pray in a way that shows we have a genuine relationship with God. God bless you all.